Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Conscious Christian Marriage Podcast. We are your hosts, Rachel and Austin Holt, and we are so glad that you are tuning in either for the first time or coming back again. Thank you for being here.
Woo! Yeah. Glad you guys are here. Mm-hmm. We have a fun episode planned for today.
I think we say that every time.
We say that every episode.
It's going to be a blast.
And we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep doing it
because we're having fun, so we hope you're having fun.
That's right.
But today's episode is called The Silent Killer in Your Marriage.
Yes.
We did go with a little bit of a clickbaity title, but it is actually really true that this particular thing that we're going to teach you on today will have a really big impact in your marriage when you become conscious of it and you're aware of it. Then you'll be able to recognize it and you'll be able to really create more connection between you and your spouse. Hopefully after this episode, just bringing it to your awareness alone is a really big deal. So we really hope that this episode blesses you.
Yeah.
And we'll jump right in.
Yeah. And before we jump right in, we'll do appreciations.
Oh, yes.
You almost forgot.
Juicy.
I'm not even going to edit that out. I'll go first. Rachel, one thing I really appreciate about you is how much you have grown in our marriage when it comes to just being able to be present with like big emotions. and maybe even more than big emotions, just being present with intensity and knowing that you don't have to take it personally. And you can just like if there's times where like everything's kind of crazy, the kids are crazy, everyone's screaming, everyone's freaking out. And if I ever have to be like kind of tense with the kids, you know, like, hey, children, hey, woo, and get their attention. Hey, sometimes like that intensity, I know, you know, when you were younger, there's a lot of intensity. And I know for a lot of years that was really difficult for you. And over the years, you have just become incredible at being able to be in the presence of intensity and not osmose it or take responsibility for it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just really appreciate that over the last few weeks, like in a lot of intense moments with the kids and like with our home build and all the different things that we're doing right now, like you have just been really gracious and you've held space. Like for me, as I've just kind of processed and, you know, kind of dealt with my stuff and the kids have just been bonkersville. And you've just been really, I've just noticed that even in times where I have felt like I've had to be intense or have like some tone, like with the kids or just in our environment, you've just been like, okay, like, all right, so how can I support you? Like, what do you need? Like, I got this. Like, and I really appreciate that. So, cause it's very healing for me knowing that you can love me in the midst of, you know, when I have like my big masculine, you know, feelings come up and stuff like that. So just appreciate you for that.
Yeah. Thank you. I received that. And my appreciation is similar in the last couple of weeks.
Sorry, I just felt like doing
I stuck
that.
My hand out for those listening. I stuck my hand out and you just like shook it because I was just like,
it looked like you
out.
Wanted to shake my hand. It was just really cute. And like, I just wanted to touch your pretty little hands.
Masculine hand. Yes. Okay, so it's been similar.
Sorry, every time you do it, no, I just want to shake your hand.
I'm going to wave my hand over to the side. It's been similar.
Gotcha.
He's high-fiving me now. Okay. Good thing we like to have fun.
Yeah.
Okay. My appreciation for you along the same lines is these situations that you're referring to. I know God has been challenging your faith in him, your faith in God's timing for things, God's provision for things, his purpose for things. And as there have been difficult moments, you've been leaning into them. And I do appreciate that you've expressed your emotions to me. And, you know, we've been able to have really good, meaningful conversation. And from that, like the last 24 hours, God has done crazy cool things. I know it's all been in the works, but we had a baptism event last night. This amazing girl that you've just met through
going to the gas station.
Yeah, like you being yourself and God shining through you. She came to our church. I built a relationship with her in 2 weeks, by the way, within 2 weeks, not of you meeting her, but of her coming to church. She got baptized, and last night was just this crazy high. And I appreciate you because that's been an answer to my prayers of like, I just always want to see God move more. I'm like, God, I want to see you move. I want to feel just more of your presence, more of your, like, I want to witness more of your miracles. And I was just telling Ashley about that this morning. Like, it's an answer to prayer the last 24 hours of everything that God has done.
Yeah.
And the presence that I felt from the Lord in that special way has been really, really cool. And a lot of it is thanks to you and your leadership and the way that you love people and live out the calling. I know this is a long appreciation, but I mean it all. And I want to say it all. You living out the calling of being a minister of the gospel, like, you don't have to go to Africa, which going to Africa is great, yeah. but you don't have to do that. In fact, if we're not doing that at home, we don't really have business doing that elsewhere
yeah, because
we are surrounded by hurting people and people who need Jesus and people who just want to know that they're loved and they're seen. And you do that really well. And I have so much fun being your wife and mm-hmm. getting to be a part of that with you. So thank you. There's a lot of appreciations in there, but just
and I receive them all.
Hopefully they landed.
Yeah, yeah. That was like a shotgun appreciation, you know? Yeah. I love it. I like that.
I'm feeling grateful. Feeling good.
All right. Well, thank you, babe. All right. Mm-hmm. So again, Rachel said today's episode is titled The Silent Killer in Your Marriage.
Yeah.
And really today is going to be about withholding. Mm-hmm. And so one question we get all the time is, you know, how do you know when you're withholding? You know, just in general, like not just even a marriage, even though today's going to be really marriage focused, but like in your marriage, in relationships, like how do you know when you're withholding?
Mm-hmm.
What all do you need to share? What all is okay to share? At what point is it not worth sharing?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of bad marriage advice out there that talks about like, even like I get the idea of don't sweat little things. If you cannot sweat a little thing and it doesn't affect your connection, that's mm-hmm. fine. But if you sweat a little thing and it affects your connection, it's a big thing. It might as well be a huge thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so we get this question all the time of like trying to figure out the balance because like you go through 1,000 things a day. Like thoughts, situations, scenarios, mm-hmm. conversations, text messages, phone calls, emails, what you eat, what you don't eat, when you feel cold, when you don't feel cold.
Like right.
You go through so many things every mm-hmm. day and you could share every single one of those mm-hmm. things with me. And so I think a lot of people just want to know like, well, what do I need to share? How do I know when I need to share it?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And so to back up a little bit and say withholding would be not sharing.
Yeah.
So withholding from your spouse would be you're not telling your spouse something, you're keeping it to yourself, usually because of a story mm-hmm. that you make up. Like, again, maybe it's too trivial. The story might be I can handle this on my own or that's not that important.
Yeah.
But then subconsciously throughout the day, it might actually affect you. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about how it will affect you and how it affects your connection.
Yeah. And those stories are so interesting because they could be I'd be a bad wife if I shared this, or I'd mm-hmm. be a bad husband if I shared this, or they would be frustrated at me, or maybe I'd get in trouble, you know, or maybe they'd think I'm pathetic, or you
or
know,
we're having such a good day, I don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, or a good spouse wouldn't say this, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. And so when people ask us this question of how do you know when you need to share something, it really comes down to this. Does the thing you're considering sharing affect the connection in any way, shape, or form? Does it affect the connection? Like, If basically I had tea or coffee or water in this cup today, whether I tell you that or not, wouldn't really affect our connection. Like, mm-hmm. so there's no, withholding's not really a question in that.
Unless it was, we made an agreement that you were not going to drink coffee.
Yes.
Because you wanted to be healthier.
Yes.
Not have caffeine or whatever.
Yeah.
And you didn't want me to know that you had
Which,
messed
I just want to make sure that's clear. We have not made that agreement.
Yes, we have not.
That I do drink. I do drink coffee. Yes,
I'm making it up.
I do drink coffee. But recently in the last 30 days or 30 days ago, I made a very conscious intention to have way less caffeine. So I went mm-hmm. from like, you know, 400 to 500 milligrams a day to like maybe 40 or 50. And actually now my caffeine tolerance is so low, like I can barely finish this cup. Anyways, so that wouldn't affect our connection. You know, but like, let's just say that we were getting ready this morning and I think maybe you handled something with the kids improperly or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say something, or I wanted to share a feeling I had about that and I didn't. And then for the rest of the day, it changed the way I connected or related to you.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that you deserve to know. Because what you don't deserve is for me to be a moving target for you,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when we withhold, we distance ourselves. And we're going to talk about this more in a second. But when we withhold, we distance ourselves and then it becomes hard to connect. And we kind of become this moving target. And it's not fair. It's not fun for me to have this moving target connection with you. But it's also not fair to you. If there's something that I'm withholding from you, and then I'm blaming you for it mm-hmm. for the rest of the day, and then I'm taking it out on you to justify why I didn't share it with you. And most of this is unconscious, right? And so here at the Conscious Christian Marriage, our goal is to help you approach things that you used to approach unconsciously and help you approach them consciously.
Mm-hmm.
And so today we're going to share here after a couple scriptures, we're going to share what the unconscious pattern looks like and then what the conscious pattern looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have two scriptures we want to share just about withholding. And the whole reason we want to share these scriptures on withholding is so that listeners today can understand the emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical toll that withholding can take on somebody.
Yeah.
Because when we withhold, a lot of things actually happen. There is a bottlenecking. There's a blockage. There's a block in our spirit, in our heart, mind, soul, and strength. You know, and so there's been a lot of times, even when we've worked with couples and even when we've just worked with individuals, where, you know, I remember one time we were working with someone that got migraines all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew, and they flushed out all these different medical directions and none of the diagnoses and scans and reports and minerals, vitamin deficiencies, all that. None of that really, you know, proved out to be attributing to the headaches. And I remember we just said, hey, like, is there something that you're withholding about?
Mm-hmm.
And this person recognized there was, shared what they were withholding, and the headaches ended right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was holding it inside, and that dis-ease of the mind, of the heart, turned into a disease of the body and manifested itself as a headache. I mean, there are so many clinically validated paths you could study this on. That's a different conversation. But there's two scriptures we want to share that I think are really powerful. I'll share Proverbs, and maybe you can share Psalms. So Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." Okay, think about that for a second. Whoever conceals transgressions will not prosper. Because a lot of times what we're withholding, what we're concealing, is generally what the story we're telling ourselves is it's a transgression. So we're not telling, right? But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And when I think of mercy, man, I just think of so many other adjectives along that vein. Like when someone's merciful with me, it's like it gives me peace, it gives me grace, I feel loved.
Yeah.
You know?
It's the gospel.
Yeah, right. That's right.
All right. This other scripture is Psalms 32:3. "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long."
Now just pause real quick. So who can identify with that? This idea of like, you know, there's something that you want to share that would benefit sharing, that would probably make you feel really connected to your spouse, and you know you're not sharing it with them. What does that feel like?
Oof.
It feels like my bones were wasting away. This is, and of course, this is David, you know, kind of lamenting here, right? And I think everyone knows that feeling. I know that feeling when there's something I haven't shared that I know if I did, it would change how you and I connect.
Yeah.
And that there's that feeling, that internal feeling of turmoil.
Agony. Yeah,
turmoil. Agony. Yeah.
That's good. So verse 4, "For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin."
Yeah. So there's something hidden in there, really powerful, on that last verse, "and you forgave the guilt of my sin."
Mm-hmm.
So guilt is this kind of combo emotion of anger and fear. Okay? Because we're angry about what happened, what we did, angry with ourselves for our guilt, you know, for our mistakes. Because guilt is about behavior. Shame is about identity. So, "and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You forgave, so I no longer had to feel this anger towards myself, and I no longer had to feel fear about what God was going to think of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because guilt is a combo of anger and fear.
Mm-hmm.
Shame is a combo of sadness and fear. And so I love how David's talking about, when I kept silent, I was in pain, but when I spoke up, okay, not only did God forgive him, but God also helped correct his dis-ease.
Yeah.
He helped him resolve that anger with himself, helped him resolve the fear of what might happen, okay? Because a lot of us withhold from our spouse because we're afraid of what might happen.
Yeah.
If we're actually forthcoming.
And David had a lot of things to be laid down
man,
upon.
Yeah, man, what a theological, relational, interpersonal conundrum David was. You know, just thinking about like the line of Judah, David, you know, Jesus obviously being born into that line as you know, the prophet said. And just thinking about, like, it'd be so easy to judge David, you know? And one thing we teach a lot, like, in our models here is our judgments always hide our projections.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, when I judge David, like, how could David be a leader? You know, he made this
he's
woman.
Not perfect.
Yeah, he convinced this woman to, you know, have an affair with him and then sent her husband to the battlefield to die.
Shoot, dang.
I know. Yeah. And I'm like, and then of course I'm like, all right, so I'm judging David for something. What have I done that's similar? You know, like, what terrible thing, which I haven't done that, but I've done, you know, things, right? So it's like, man, like, where in my life did I do something out of integrity?
Uh-huh.
Where, how did I try to cover it up?
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he did. He had integrity breach, and then he tried to cover his tracks.
Yeah.
You know, so David, yeah, it'd be very interesting. Be very
we can
easy.
All identify with that.
Yeah.
Everybody has tried to cover something up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't like that I did that. I really don't want to face that. I don't want other people to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that what's really interesting about these scriptures and tons of other scriptures too, mm-hmm. about the value of being forthcoming and ending withholding. We've worked with so many couples where just teaching them the skill of recognizing when they're withholding and then becoming forthcoming. Mm-hmm. Just 180 so many things in their marriage alone, you know? And so,
yeah.
But we suffer emotionally from withholding. We suffer mentally from withholding, okay? We can get headaches from withholding. Mm-hmm. We get heartache from withholding. Withholding distances us from God, okay, when we withhold, okay? It also kind of distances ourselves with ourself, because when we withhold, we're basically telling ourselves that we're not confident enough, hopeful enough, faithful enough, and assured enough, self-assured, self-secure enough to just tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
and know that we can deal with what's coming around the corner once we tell the truth.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I think it comes down to this perception of the cost and payoff, where
yeah.
our subconscious tells ourselves a story that it'll be less painful to lie
uh-huh.
than it will be to face the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
When in truth, not only are you going to face the pain of withholding, you're going to eventually face the pain of telling the truth.
Right. So you're giving yourself both pains.
Yeah. Right. And you're giving yourself the anxiety while you wait. And
yeah.
if you missed the episode on anxiety, the last episode before this was on anxiety, I definitely recommend watching it.
Yeah, because this builds on it a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, this builds on it. And, you know, it's kind of like, I've probably quoted this. Have I quoted Andy Mineo yet?
No.
One of my favorite Christian rappers, Andy Mineo, he has some great lyrics. He says, "You've got two choices. Both require pain. One's the pain of change and the other is of staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
One of them leads to joy. One of them leads to one of them leads to pain. One of them leads to freedom. The other keeps me in chains."
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, it's going to be hard either way. Ending withholding is going to be hard either way. You might as well choose the hard that gets you a great end result.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with so many things. We could apply that to, you know, improvement on in any area of life. But
mm-hmm.
so yeah. this brings us to the actual cycle. So we want to teach you guys this cycle here. And we might superimpose some graphics over the screen after I say this. We might not. Who knows? But because, you know, sometimes.
Depends on how Austin's feeling.
Yeah, depends on how I'm feeling while I'm editing the episode.
The once, process
yeah,
goes.
And so the cycle basically looks like withholding, withdrawing, projecting.
Mm-hmm.
I like to use my hands for this. Kind of this withholding, withdrawing, projecting. Think of it as a three-part cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is if I withhold from Rachel, okay, let's just say that I make a conscious decision or unconscious decision to withhold something from her. What I'm going to do is I'm then going to withdraw from her. Because the further we are away from each other, emotionally or even physically,
mm-hmm.
the further I am from her, my mind is going to tell me the smaller chance she's going to have to figure out that I'm not telling the truth. Because mm-hmm. here, come here. If I get this close to her and she asks me something and I try to answer it in a funky way, like ask me something, like ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
Good. Good. See, it's like she could tell I'm like squirrely, because the closer—
For those not on YouTube,
yeah,
he didn't look me in the eye.
Yeah, because the closer I am to her is gonna make it really difficult for me to not tell her the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we withhold, we withdraw emotionally, physically, and then we project. And by project, I mean I'm gonna start making up stories about why she is not close to me,
mm-hmm.
why she's withdrawing from me. Or I'm going to make up stories about her that will help me justify
yes.
why I withheld in the first place. Mm-hmm. She's not strong enough. She would get too upset. She'd get upset at me. She couldn't handle what I have to say. These are all stories that are going to help me go, yeah, it is a good idea I didn't tell her. Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
maybe you put on an outfit that I didn't think you looked great in or something. And it's like, you know, she was so excited about this outfit and I saw her.
I'm going to be honest, she looked pasty in it.
Yeah, she didn't look great in it. But I was like, yeah, you look great. And then I don't want her to know that I just withheld from her or I just straight up lied to her. So I kind of back, because withholding is a form of lying. So if I kind of back, I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, you look great. And then what I'm going to do is I'm like, yeah, she's had a hard week. She'd be so upset if I told her that. I'm not going to tell her that, you
uh-huh.
know. Or, you know what, there have been times where she wasn't honest with me about when she didn't like something about me, so I'm just not going to tell her. That's projection,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm going to see in her what I'm doing, Okay. I'm going to make up a story about why she is distant from me when I'm being distant with her. Mm-hmm. That's the withholding cycle. Okay. Is to withdraw after I withhold from her, and then I project and I blame her for why we're not close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a good example of this would be, a while ago, there was a situation, kind of an ongoing, long stringed out situation with a family member that was not going well. It was a painful situation. And any time that this situation came up or was kind of at the forefront of my mind, I would get emotional. Austin would help me. He did a lot for me to process and all this stuff. So there was a day where I got a text from someone and I chose to not tell Austin about it. I thought, you know what? He's having a hard week or whatever. You know, we're having such a good time. I'm not going to let this affect my life. I'm just going to, breathe through this and just, forget it and like not give that any of my attention. Like my life is awesome. You know, kind of a little bit of an override where I thought I was doing the right thing, like good mindset. Yeah. And I'm not going to tell Austin. I don't want it to be this thing again where I'm bringing problems up, And so subconsciously, consciously, I thought I forgot about it. I thought it wasn't a big deal. Doesn't really matter. I kind of just let it go. But subconsciously it was kind of under the radar all day long, calling the shots.
Yeah.
I was more snippy, more withdrawn, more impatient, either with the kids or with Austin, whatever it was, more emotional. But here's the great thing about marriage. I cannot see it in myself and you can see it and recognize it. And this is, something I appreciate in you. This used to happen so often where you'd be like, babe, is there something? You're kind of not being yourself here, which is such an honoring way to address me.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're not being yourself here. Is there something you haven't told me? Is there something that happened today? You'd ask questions like that. And I'd be like, well, I mean, this. And I'm like, oh, well, this person did text me this morning.
And I'm like, that would normally bring you a lot of discomfort.
That would be it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say,
you've
probably been spinning on that today.
Uh-huh.
And it probably would have served you a lot to bring that to our marriage so that we could support each other.
And here I thought I had some noble intention or I had handled it. Mm-hmm. And so what I was doing is I didn't want to bring to you what I thought you couldn't handle when really I was the one having trouble handling
That's perfectly said.
Yeah.
That's perfectly said. What are you laughing at me for? That's just perfectly said.
Yeah, thanks.
You didn't want to bring it to me because secretly you really weren't in a place where you wanted to handle it.
Yeah.
But then you pretended that you were protecting me, thinking
like
that I wasn't in a place to handle it, but really it was you. And that's perfect. That was you withheld, you withdrew, and you projected. So that's what we would call the unconscious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This unconscious cycle is the withholding cycle. When we're in an unconscious state, when we're not present, when we're not mindful of the spirit, when we're not leaning into our marriage, we're unconscious. And so we withhold.
Yeah.
So Rachel, what's a good conscious example using what we call the forthcoming cycle?
Mm-hmm. So instead of withholding, you're forthcoming.
Yes.
As we were prepping for this episode, this story, just this experience kept coming to my mind. And I was like, that's not withholding. That's an example where I could have withheld.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sharing it today because I just in my spirit kept coming up. And it was this really awesome day. You had gotten the car all cleaned, your Corvette, gotten it all cleaned, going on a date, going out on a double date. So I was all dolled up.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
We were in a nice car. We were going on a date with a couple that we really love and enjoy. And you are winding on some really fast roads, curvy roads, and you are a very safe driver, and I trust you.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how much time had passed since my brother had died in a motorcycle accident. He was going really fast, and that's how his life ended. And so all of a sudden, just my entire body, I had this visceral sense of fear and imagining our kids not having parents, imagining them going through what I went through. And I am a little emotional even saying this, so I'm just gonna breathe a little bit because the emotions came over me. But I then felt a lot of sadness, just thinking of my brother because I love him.
Yeah.
And like he was having fun. He was doing something that was fun.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember you said while we were kind of zipping around.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I'm noticing myself like feeling really sad right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you were like, can you like slow down and just, you know, like drive like normal?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, of course. And I think even before we went in to have dinner.
I let myself cry.
Yeah, you let yourself cry and we talked through it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, here was the fork in the road, no pun intended. If I overrode and I'm like, oh, I don't want to mess up my makeup. Oh, we're about to see these people.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want them to see me cry or like see that I've been crying. But for me, I actually have no shame in that anymore.
Because you don't.
Hey, I just had a good cry in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that's a way that I can be an example to the world, being comfortable and loving myself. But I could have gone that route and like, oh, I don't want to mess up, quote unquote, mess up this day.
Yeah.
We're having such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the obstacle was the way.
Yep.
Feeling my feeling was the way, because then I flushed it out. Again, the whole nod back to our anxiety episode. Mm-hmm. I felt the feeling. I spoke the truth.
Yeah.
We were connected.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't withhold.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wiped my eyes and went in and had a blast.
Yeah.
Like just a great night. Maybe even better than I would have before, because I processed all of that and we were connected. You knew where I was at, and I appreciate that you supported me in that really well.
Yeah, and I too respect you for that, because you caught what could have been the withholding cycle and you made it the more forthcoming cycle. So the three stages of the forthcoming cycle would be to be forthcoming, to lean in, and to own. Okay, which is the opposite of withhold, withdraw, project.
Yeah.
Because that's where I'm not telling the truth, I'm backing away from you, and then I'm making you own it.
Mm-hmm.
But the forthcoming cycle is I'm telling the truth, I'm leaning into the truth, and then I'm owning my attachment to it.
Yeah.
So if you had to kind of define those three parts of the cycle for that story, what would those be?
I shared.
Yep, you shared.
And, you know, I leaned in by expounding more, feeling my feelings.
Yep.
And then I owned it taking responsibility.
Yep.
As much as I... you know, in that situation, took responsibility.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the withholding happens with like a spouse will say something and the other person has an offense, you know, which nod to our previous episode. That's what would be a good example of owning it. Like, okay, I noticed that I was offended. That would be the unconscious way to say it. I noticed I had a feeling when you said this about my hair, then, leaning in, and if you need to feel it, process that a little bit more, have an ongoing conversation, and then say, own it by, I haven't loved myself very well lately.
Yeah.
I've been negative about myself. And you saying that brought up that and just kind of sent that house of cards crumbling.
Yeah, that's really good. I appreciate you sharing that. And I was thankful that, you honored me, because you did honor me. You honored me by being willing to tell the truth, and it empowered me. Because you were willing to say, like, I know you're strong enough to handle what I'm going to share with you. And I know you're strong enough to be able to walk me through it and love me through it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why that's so powerful. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple examples as well. So my withholding cycle, in full disclosure, I'm not quoting an exact situation, but I can remember when this has happened multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
A good example for me on my withholding cycle is, the withhold is like, I had a hard day at work. Maybe I lost, and I think really specifically it's like losing a client or some major account or something, to where I feel like I personally wasn't good enough, and then that results in us losing income or something like that, or a little piece of our income. And so I can think of many times where I've like withheld, where like I had a tough day, and it wasn't just normally a tough day. We lost some good account, or one of our partners lost something or whatever. And then I kind of felt like it was a reflection of my personal abilities and my ability to, provide for my family. So then I would withdraw. I kind of get distant, because I actually feel shame, because I would make up this story in my weak moment that I couldn't provide for you, or that God for some reason wasn't favoring me, or wasn't going to ultimately be the one who takes care of my family. And because I didn't want you to even ask. So like I'd get home, I wouldn't tell you. I would withdraw from you, because I wouldn't even want you to be like, how was your day?
Yeah.
Because then I'd be positioned to have to tell you, or to have to lie and withhold, And then the projection was, I would nitpick you about things like finances or the little missteps.
Yeah.
You know, like I'd be like, Rach, have you not responded to those emails today? You know, like projecting on you, like, you're slipping up in your business right now, when it was me who slipped up, you know, or I'd nitpick you about finances, you know, or be like, wow, you spent $11 on gluten-free macaroni and cheese today, Rachel. Like, wow. And I'm kind of making that up. I don't think I've ever nitpicked you like that. But you know, there's been times where I've called something out like, man, do we really have to spend $900 a week at Aldi's, you know? Because for some reason, our four kids eat a lot and it's odd.
Oh my gosh,
but
yeah.
So the withhold was I didn't want to tell you. The withdrawal was I didn't want to be close to you because I didn't want you to ask me. I didn't want an opportunity to have to tell you that I feel like I failed at something. Mm-hmm. And then I nitpick you about finances, nitpick you about your how like you weren't doing good in business because you weren't responding to emails. And so, yeah, I think that's a common one for me to go to. And a lot of men that we've worked with over the years, I feel like that's kind of something they struggle with too. But now that's my unconscious pattern. My conscious pattern. Do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I want to say something really quickly. That kind of points to something we teach about a lot is you're never upset for the reason you think you're upset. And that is really good to mention with the withholding cycle because we'll withhold and then it's so subconscious. We like nitpick all these other things and we air quotes think we're upset about those things. Money is one of those things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's like a power struggle, and there's usually a lot of stuff going on. It's not about the money. It's about something else, like what you said. Feeling like you're unable to provide.
It was not about you spending so much money at, you know, the grocery store.
Yeah.
It was that I was feeling like, oh my gosh, like I lost this client. What if I lost 70 clients that week? You know, like that would never happen. Yeah. And so.
The catastrophizing.
Yeah, the catastrophizing. Yeah. So my forthcoming example where I was conscious and I entered the forthcoming would be, so I remember one time, and I felt like this a couple times, and this is like a whole nother episode where a lot of people disagree with this, and that's okay. Because we've helped a lot of people, couples, key leaders, really change their marriage by this one aspect. But I remember one time that I wanted to withhold from you that I like saw a woman earlier that day that was like objectively really attractive, you know? And, you know, I like told myself this initial story of like, oh no, don't tell Rachel that you saw some really beautiful woman because she might feel insecure about herself or something. But I really felt like God was just like, hey, I want you to go home and tell your wife that, you know, you were at a coffee shop and you just saw this woman that you took note of and you said, she is very beautiful, you know, and just, I want you to go tell Rachel that, you know, and I really felt God tell me that. And so I came home, I told you that, okay? And I leaned in by, instead of distancing our emotional connection because I was too afraid you would figure it out, I was able to lean in and tell you the truth and also give you this story that like I do have only eyes for you and I'm also going to notice objectively beautiful women, you know, and that again, there's not a man on the planet that can say that he's never, as a married man, has never seen another woman he felt objectively attractive to. And if he does, he's stretching a really bad rubber band that's going to hurt when it snaps. And that's a whole nother training. Because I've got a program where I help men get unaddicted from porn and help them get unaddicted from lust and stuff like that. And so that's a kind of an impromptu, you know, shout out for that program. But so there's a whole process we follow in that. And one of those is just is radical honesty and being forthcoming about when we're attracted to someone else, when we see someone else who is objectively good looking.
Because God made humans.
God made beautiful people. Yeah. And we always say the antidote to lust is honor. So we have a whole process we teach on when you see someone who's attractive, how instead of, you know, your flesh wanting you to lust, your conscious self, the self that connects with God, is going to honor that person. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's a whole thing. But yeah, so, and then what I owned was I didn't need to accuse you of being out of integrity or hiding things from me because I was forthcoming about not hiding something from you. One of the quickest ways you can know if your spouse is not being truthful to you or if you're not being truthful to them is accusing them of not being truthful with you. And so I know.
We've gotten each other on this.
Oh, I know. We have. Totally. Well, there's been times where, you know, I've been like, Rachel, are you not telling me the truth about that? And then she's like, what are you not telling the truth about? I'm like, shoot. Okay. Let me think. There's something. And so, yeah, I want to be forthcoming. So I was forthcoming about that with you. Mm-hmm. And I leaned in by just being able to own that. And I did not want to emotionally distance ourselves because I want you to be close to me. Even if that means I have to admit things to you that I'm afraid you'll be upset with me about, you know. And then the owning piece was If I was being unconscious and I would have withheld all that with you, I know I would have nitpicked you and I would have accused you of not telling me the truth. Because if you can be the one with the problem, why would my problem ever even need to come up? If we can be so focused on your problems, then we wouldn't need to be focused on mine. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that kind of marriage because we both know that our judgment hides projection, mm-hmm. you know?
So ask yourself, do I criticize my spouse a lot?
Yeah.
Do I have grace and love for myself, and what am I not facing?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You know, and so again, we want to be conscious people. And I mean, that's why we have the brand, The Conscious Christian and The Conscious Christian Marriage, because we want to help people shift from things like that withholding cycle to this forthcoming cycle. And when people are new at jumping into like marriage investment and coaching mm-hmm. and counseling, you know, there is some curve where those first few times are going to be kind of difficult. And that's why we invite couples like, join our program, like join our network of amazing couples, and like so that you can have the support and encouragement, love and prayer of tons of couples just like you who are mm-hmm. humble enough to dive into this stuff. Because once you do, all of a sudden the clarity, the ease and flow and peace and joy that comes from flushing all the pipes out, clearing all the slates, it's incredible, you know? And so we have built a culture in our marriage and in countless marriages of being able to be forthcoming and not withholding. Because I do believe that if you withhold something that would affect your connection, it's a form of lying. And if you are doing that, you are sinning. You are mm-hmm. missing the mark that God has for you. You're missing the mark because God wants your marriage to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And lying will ruin it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so God wants your life to be great. And these cycles, spoiler alert, are not just marriage.
Yes.
All relationships, mm-hmm. all friendships, family relationships, friends, clients, bosses, neighbors, mm-hmm. pastors, you name it. And the more that we can be forthcoming and lean in and mm-hmm. own our stuff, it's the most powerful way to empower someone too. Because when I was able to tell you like, hey, I just want you to know, I saw this woman today at a coffee shop and I just took notice. Wow, God's got a masterpiece. There's one right over there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Is then you knew that I believed in you. To where you wouldn't then be like, oh, wow, am I not beautiful enough for your eyes to ever look at another woman? Like you were like, hey, thanks for sharing that with me, honey. Mm-hmm. Then I felt safe with you. I didn't mm-hmm. feel shame because we have got to be ridiculously transparent about that mm-hmm. so that a hidden problem does not begin. Because I'm telling you, we've worked with tons of couples that have unfortunately had infidelity and things like that. And the slippery slope is lying about how you feel.
Yeah, you know? Attraction.
That's the slippery slope.
That's why, I mean, that is a great example why this is the silent killer.
Yes. Yes. It is a silent killer because it's never, we always tell people, you know, when we're working with a couple that's had infidelity or something like that, we always say, well, it's not like you woke up one day and just thought, you know what? I'm going to ruin my marriage today.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a great idea. Like I'm just going to go find someone and have an affair with them. And it's going to be awesome. It's because it's a slow fade. Oh. Casting crowns.
Yeah.
It's a slow fade. You know, it's a thousand little negative decisions. It's falling down the slippery slope. It's like when Samson walked back, you know, 10,000 steps or whatever that was. It's like one step after another, you know, it eventually led him to Delilah, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's what happens. It's not one day, boom, you just ruin it all in one day. It's a slippery slope, you know? And so to keep ourselves from entering that slippery slope, we have to be diligent about telling the microscopic truth as often as we can. Mm-hmm. And because of that, it's created an incredible connection with you and I, where I can feel safe enough to be like, hey, like I noticed this attractive woman today. I wanted to tell you that so mm-hmm. that nothing festers in me. And because of your security as a woman of God, you're not offended by that. You're not upset by that. You're like, hey, babe, I really appreciate you telling me that because you know I'm strong and secure enough to hear that.
Yeah. And, well, two things on that. One, nod back to our episode on agreements. We have an agreement.
We have an agreement around that.
So we've discussed that ahead of time. That would be a really wise thing for you to do with your spouse, to discuss that ahead of time. Hey, I'm not going to withhold. If this happens, I'm going to share it, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. And then also, you know, you could have told yourself a story, nod to our episode about stories, that I would be insecure.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
I would have a reaction, like an emotional reaction, or I would feel terrible about myself.
Yeah.
But then nod to our episode on, did we already talk about responsibility?
No, but wow, I'm just loving all your nods, your network.
We've got nods. Yeah. Nod to a future episode on radical responsibility. We haven't done that yet.
I don't think we've talked about that. I don't know if we've nodded to it.
But we talk about responsibility a lot here.
And I'm not talking about these nods. Shout out for any of my boys out there.
Yeah. Taking responsibility. So you share with me how you're feeling. You're being in integrity.
Yeah.
And now I get to choose.
Yeah, that's right.
If I did have a feeling of insecurity come up, which has happened.
You get to own that.
I can own that. And then I could say, you know, when you share that with me, not going to lie.
Felt a few feelings.
Yeah. I've been wanting to work on my butt, but I've been a little flat lately. And I know her butt was like really fit. And, you know, but I can be inspired by that. Like, wow,
yeah, that's
she,
right.
I can honor her. I can say she takes really good care of her body. I'm going to be inspired by that. Mm-hmm. I want to take good care of my body. And I know you think I'm sexy. I appreciate myself. You know, there's so many things I can do.
Man. Yeah. And this is a whole episode. So we should whole episode this one.
Note that when we get off
recording. Yeah.
But
I want to appreciate you for being someone who's worked through that to where you are a secure woman. Because if I didn't feel safe in being able to bring that to you, like that's how you support me and not having an issue with porn, not having an issue with lust is because I've been able to bring those things to you for so many years now.
Yeah.
So that, like, I don't have to hide where I struggle with you out of fear that you're going to feel a certain way about yourself. So I really thank you for that.
Thank you.
Because I know because we work with a lot of people that they don't have that yet. And the journey of working through that, it's just painful. It is painful. So I just thank you. Thank you for being strong, a strong place for me to tell the truth to and all that.
Yeah.
So. All right. So we're going to pause real quick and go to our nonprofit shout out. Now, today's nonprofit shout out is very special to us. They're all special to us.
I know.
But we're shouting out a specific person within a big organization. Okay. So we have a good friend of ours. He and his wife are not only in our program, but they are ambassadors at Conscious Christian Marriage, where you can actually talk to them about CCM. And if you join through talking with them, they get credit for that. And they'll help you get acclimated into the program.
Yeah.
But his name is Stephen Losey. He's married to a wonderful woman named Alexis Losey. And so Stephen Losey is with Team World Vision. And so World Vision is responsible for all sorts of change on a global level. I mean, what a powerhouse organization. And specifically, they allow people like us to sponsor kids in other countries.
Yeah.
And so Stephen Losey is our guy at Team World Vision, and we sponsor a little girl. Her name's Anna Pashi, and we've sponsored her for like 5 years now, 6 years. I mean, we have photos of her from when she was like little all the way up to she's like 6, 7, 8 now. And we get to have opportunities to send stuff to her like on her birthday and Christmas. And Team World Vision has an amazing model to where the way they empower and equip villages so they become self-sustaining, so that they are able to generate resources that they need. But Stephen Losey, he's a marathon runner. He runs all over the world. I think he's run every single world marathon now, like Germany and Tokyo. And he's like done the Boston.
So cool.
And he's done
I know him.
Yeah, I know, right? He's famous. He's literally amazing. And so is his wife, Alexis. Anyways, we really love that organization, and so we're going to put a link in our bio that you can click and learn more about what World Vision is up to and what Stephen is doing within World Vision. And hey, I think we pay like $39 or $40 bucks a month to sponsor this girl. And I'm sure you've heard the World Vision sponsor. If you've ever been to any church or Christian concert, I'm sure you've heard the pitch. But Stephen's got a great one. And not only does he just, you know, want to be a part of World Vision, he literally runs thousands of miles a month.
To raise money
for really these kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, Stephen trusts me with his mental health. And one thing we haven't talked about yet is why he runs thousands of miles. I think we have talked about that. And it's all good, I think. I don't like to run, but Stephen does. And, like, I'll call him, and he's like, hey, man. And I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, oh, I'm on a run. I'm like, what mile are you on? Oh, like 40. And I'm like,
how are you talking
right now?
I was
like, it's 9 a.m. He's like, oh, yeah, I know. I'm kind of behind. It's amazing. He's like Chris Traeger from Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
But anyway, so World Vision, Stephen Losey, we're going to put a link in, and we want you to click that. Go and donate a few bucks. Even if you can only give $5, give $5.
Or sponsor a child.
Or sponsor a child.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know what? I'll make you all a deal. Here's a crazy deal. This is off the fly, off the cuff.
Ooh.
If you go sponsor a kid through Team World Vision because of this episode and you send us a screenshot of that receipt, we will give you twice that amount of money and a credit to our online store at CCM. Okay, so You go sponsor kid at $39 a month. We're going to give you a $78 credit to our store's website. You can use that towards coaching, towards a counseling session with us, towards our connection cards, one of our courses, etc. Because we really do believe in World Vision. And we really believe in Stephen Losey. And so, yeah.
Yeah. And just think, you're already spending that $39. Very likely if you live in America or...
Yeah. You probably bought a $39 latte this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, if you live in California.
Yeah, if you live in California, yeah. And there's or, like gold flecks in it and stuff like that.
Or London. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But yes, you spend that money somewhere else that is a non-necessity, like going out to eat or something like that. So,
and there's no guilt in that. We're in the same boat.
This is not a guilting.
Yeah, not a guilt thing at all.
But just, if you feel called, there is a way to, you know, reallot some things and it's worth it because
your priorities are found in your calendar and in your bank statements, 100%. Whatever you want the most, you will find a way to take care of it, you know, just like investing in your marriage.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Rachel, big action item, all right? So let's get to the big juicy action item today.
Okay.
Okay, if we could give everyone one big, juicy, delicious action item they could leave with today, what would that be?
Is it edible?
Yeah, it could be.
Big and juicy. Okay. I'm stopped.
You just need to quit while you're ahead. I like where you're going.
Yeah, okay.
We'll finish that conversation later.
All right, so close your eyes. Unless you're driving while you're listening to this.
Oh, I close my eyes too.
Yeah, I know. I do too when I say this.
All right,
so close your eyes. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Fill your belly, not your chest with air. Fill your belly. Stick your belly button out as you inhale. And then press all that air out, pushing your belly button back to the back of your spine. Ask yourself one question. What am I withholding from my spouse that would affect our connection that I want to share with them so that I can end my withholding? So ask yourself this question, but I guarantee most of you probably had
already
something
know.
Come up.
Something in today's episode.
Well, something convicted you, probably.
Yep.
The Lord works in wonderful ways.
And your reward for that thing being... shared in your marriage, I guarantee you, even though there might be a little Band-Aid rippage, okay? That might hurt a little bit.
Yeah.
But it will bless your marriage. And I believe God will honor you for stepping back into integrity.
Yes.
Because ultimately, withholding is an integrity breach. Because as Christians, we commit, agree to the value, the law, the mandate from God to tell the truth.
Yeah.
So when we're not telling the truth, we are out of integrity with our values and with who we say we are. God always honors people and they step back into integrity.
Yeah. So let's just assume you thought of that item. What you're going to do right now is stop. What you're doing, you're going to set a time to chat and share this with your spouse.
Yeah.
So text your spouse now. Say, hey, I want to have a conversation. I have some things I want to share. When is a good time for you? Instead of just kind of dumping it on them
whenever
they're not prepared.
Just be like, hey, I want to have a chat with you.
Yeah.
Would tonight work after we put the kids down or maybe tomorrow morning before we get up for the day?
Yeah.
And just say, and we always, there's so many things we could share about this process, but just be like, hey, because I love you, because I honor you, because I want to be a high integrity husband or wife, and because I want to follow God, and because I want I believe in the long term us, I just want to tell the truth about something. There's just something that I've been withholding from you, and I want to stop that right now and be connected to you again.
Yeah.
Do that thing and it will absolutely change your marriage. So.
Yeah. And also, like, comment.
Yes.
Subscribe if you haven't. Rate us. All your reviews are a wonderful blessing. Your comments are a wonderful blessing.
Yeah.
And do not tell yourself the story that we are too busy for you to reach out to us.
Yeah. We talk to
people. This is what we love. We love you. We want to hear from you. So you're important. Yes, you, the person listening to this and internalizing what I'm saying, you are important to us. So if you ever want to say something, you feel something come up that you want to tell us or share or reach out, please do. That's what we're here for. We love it and we love you.
Yeah. Thanks for tuning. Well said, babe. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Conscious Christian Marriage Podcast. Again, as Rachel said, like, comment, subscribe, do all the things. We love you. We're praying for you and we'll see you on the next episode.